We're turning back to Ephesians. We're in chapter 4. We're up to verse 13. Ephesians chapter 4. We're reading verses 13 to 16. I'd like to begin with verse 11 and read to verse 16. Some will say, I have Jesus, that's all I need. And there's a sense in which that is true. But there's much more that's given us in Jesus Christ. And the Word of God teaches us in this passage concerning what's been given to us in Jesus Christ. And we need to pay attention because this is for our growth, that we might grow into the fullness of maturity. This is the Word of God. And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, whereby by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. The precious word of the living and the true God. I have Jesus. That's enough. Why do I need to listen to some preacher when I have the Word of God in my own language and I have Jesus Christ and I have the Holy Spirit? And that's the approach of many people. John Calvin puts it this way: an enthusiast's dream that the use of the ministry ceases as soon as we have been led to Christ. In other words, getting all excited about having Jesus Christ causes some people to push away from what he has provided in order for us to grow. And that's very unwise, because there's a goal that's set before us. We have imperfect teachers, and yet we have a perfect Savior who works through this means, and it's for our growth. And it's important that we recognize that what we have been given in Jesus Christ is designed so that God might actually apply himself to us in our weakness. As Calvin puts, is as much as if he came down to us himself. And you know he did. He came down in Jesus Christ. So what he's provided for us is that we might grow in Jesus Christ, that we might be those who reach the goal. What is the goal? Well, it's given to us here in these words, and it's given to us in ways that we can unpack in this way. Verse 13 speaks of unity and knowledge and maturity. Unity and knowledge and maturity. And then verse 14 speaks of stability. And then verse 15 speaks of integrity. And then verse 16 again speaks of progressing in unity. Unity that is designed to progress. Unity, knowledge, maturity, stability, integrity, and growth in unity. That's what we're being shown. That's what we need. That's what we need in the body of Christ. And, you know, there is another way that things are described in the Roman Catholic Church. The Roman Catholic Church actually exalts the position of teacher, exalts the position of those who serve in particular ways, and the people of God actually are supposed to stay as infants. That's the approach. But that is not the approach of the Word of God. That's not the approach that's given to us here. We're not designed to stay in infancy. We're not designed to stay in listening to those who are in particular places as teachers and not grow ourselves. We are designed to go on to maturity together as the people of God. That means the apostles and the prophets, that means the evangelists, that means everyone who is in the body of Christ is to grow in Christ. And that's important because we're not to stay as infants. We're not to stay as those who are as we begin. The word till is a very important word. It speaks of a goal. It speaks of a destination. It speaks of a place where we are to arrive. The end result is that we will all come, as it says, in the unity of the faith. Very important words. Because we've already read about faith in chapter 4. There's one faith. There's one body of belief. There's one doctrine that comes from the Word of God, and we're to hold to it. But this is talking about something else. It's talking about the full implications of our faith that is expressed as we grow in unity. It is a dynamic thing. It is a living thing. It is a goal that is given to us that is already realized in Jesus Christ, and it's being filled out as we grow. And that's an important thing for us to realize. That's an important thing for us to recognize, because as long as we are in this world, we are growing in this direction. And there will come a day when all will be made completely fit for glory. But we are growing in this direction all the time. We're not being told to simply wait for glory. We're being told that we are to grow in this direction, in unity, in the faith, in the knowledge of the Son of God. And that's an important thing. Again, Calvin, he says, some people think that it's just about what you learn. And you can learn everything you need to know in 2 or 3 years. And he says, what if we have a tendency in our hearts to go astray? You can learn everything you need to know, but in the tendency of your heart is to go astray, it would do you no good. We need an ongoing, continual downloading of what we've been given in Jesus Christ. That's what we need in order to grow. We're easily impressed with a little bit of progress, he points out. We think we've arrived. But that wasn't the attitude of the Apostle Paul, was it? He knew that we had a destination. He knew that he was moving toward that destination. And he says in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I might apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's what the word till shows to you and me. That's what the word till is showing us. The goal, the destination, reaching the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Amazing language. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Different language in this verse to show us what maturity looks like. To show us what it looks like. And it looks like maturity looks like unity in the faith together. The people of God together reaching this great pinnacle. And that's an important thing for us to meditate upon. Because we are designed to make progress together. We are actually involved in this pilgrimage, this path together as God's people. And that's an important thing for us to recognize. We have been taught about unity already in this chapter in many different ways. We have the unity of the Spirit. We're to keep it in the bond of peace. But this is also the means by which we grow. Later on, in a few verses, we're going to talk about different parts of the body. Does it do the body any good if you have an arm that grows outsized? You've seen these goofy pictures, people that, you know, they put a bodybuilding picture together and it's one body part that's exaggerated. Just think about trying to function that way. We know that our bodies are supposed to function together. And that's why this image is so amazing. It's given to us here. Unity of the faith. Unity of that which our faith shows us. And it involves knowledge. It involves knowledge of the Son of God. Now, this is not just simply knowing your catechism. This is personal knowledge. This is the intimacy of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. The one who said that the teachers of the law refused to come to him to have life. The one who said that knowing him, the Father, and the Son is eternal life in John 17. This is the kind of knowledge that we need. The personal knowledge of the Son of God. Do you know him? Do you know that your knowledge of the Son of God is designed to be expressed in communion with other people who are part of the body of Christ? The knowledge of the Son of God is expressed by all of us together. Because what we are heading towards is what's called a perfect man. That's amazing language. A perfect man. Surely it's talking about Jesus, right? He's the perfect man. We come unto Jesus Christ. But we already have. What it's actually talking about is the maturity of the body of Christ being conformed to Jesus Christ together. And it is true that all of that will be fully completed when Jesus comes back. That there's a sense in which even our sanctification, our progress, is small, just beginnings. And all of it will be completed. But this is the goal, you see. And it's for us together as the body to reach this maturity, to become unto a perfect man. That's an important thing to meditate upon. It's an important thing to think about. There's a sense in which when you are in Jesus Christ, when you are set apart in him, when you are received by the Father in him, you are in that respect as an individual joined to Jesus Christ, a perfect man. You can sing the psalm that we started with today, Psalm 101, with integrity, because that's who you are in Jesus Christ. But this verse is talking about something more. It's talking about the unity of the faith. It's talking about us coming together to be a perfect man, a fully mature people of God. At the beginning of the joining of Jew and Gentile together, we read in chapter 2, that the Lord Jesus Christ was the means by which both sides were made one. And they were reconciled unto God. And out of two was made one new man. And that's what's being talked about here, but it's from the standpoint of arrival. It's on the standpoint of perfection. This one new man is now being formed after Jesus Christ. It's the church. It's the church in adulthood. It's the church reaching the maturity that is designed for the church of Jesus Christ in him. That's what we're reaching unto. That's what we're moving towards. And it's specifically put this way by the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul, because adulthood is going to be contrasted with being children. That's why the passage goes there. Because it's talking about us reaching maturity, the fullness of who we are in Jesus Christ, in contrast to remaining children and being like children. And that's an important thing to meditate upon. Because there are passages that talk to us about the importance of coming to the Lord as children. We are to come to him with total dependence. We are to come as children. The Bible makes it clear that sometimes we need milk to drink, that we need the milk of the Word that we need to take in that which is given to us. But the Bible also speaks of the difference between continuing to be children, which would be childish, and the childlikeness that starts the process that enables us to be dependent so that we might actually grow. We need to know the source of growth. And the source is what God has provided through his word in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's provided himself for us that we might continue to grow in the direction that we have been given. And we might be this person, this new man that is described later on in chapter 4 as created after God in righteousness and true holiness. That's what we have been created to be. Like God in righteousness and holiness in Christ. And so we are going to be growing until the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, it sounds like he's talking about a physical image. But stature is also used in the Bible to talk about people that are of age. It's talking about growing into adulthood again. It's talking about growing up. We grow physically, but this is talking about growing spiritually into the stature of the fullness of Christ. In other words, growing into what we have been already given in the Lord Jesus Christ. We learn that in chapter 1, as we learn that the body of Christ, the church, is the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Jesus Christ fills the church together, that we might grow into the fullness of the adult stature that is the church having arrived in Jesus Christ. That is given to us in Jesus Christ. That is what we've been given in order that we might grow. And so the idea that we could somehow remain children and not grow into that is to disregard everything that we've been given in Christ. He is the head of the body. He is the one through whom every part grows, as we learn in the following verses. And so this idea of being led into the fullness of maturity is contrasted with being children. Being children, those who do not fully develop, those who remain in a state where they're not growing. It's not the child that's 3 years old that's being talked about. It's a person who remains a child. Imagine that 3 year old at age 35 doing the same things, acting in the same ways. Well, that would be massively unhealthy. That would not be the direction in which you want a person to grow. But that's what we're being told is what we need to grow away from as the body of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children. And then we here see the language of being tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. Winds of doctrine. It's false teaching. But the image is that of a wind that pushes. Some of you have seen videos of a house floating down on the top of water because a hurricane came through. The wind of the false teaching that is in the world can be strong. And if we are children, we can be tossed about by it. That's what we're being shown here. That's the importance of being rooted and grounded in love, like we're told in chapter 3. That's the need that we have in order to grow, that we might not be any more children who are easily tossed to and fro. It's too easy to convince a child to do things. That's why children are given so many warnings not to accept candy from strangers, not to get into a vehicle with a stranger who says they're delivering you a message from your parents, because they are willing to listen. And that's how we naturally are in this fallen world, you see. That's how we naturally are. We're willing to listen to different voices. Voices that will toss us like the wind, that will push us around. False doctrine, false teaching. We are designed to grow. rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ, that we might not be tossed around like that. You see how important this image is. Carried about. Carried somewhere else from where you're supposed to be. Missing. Missing. You know how serious that is when you turn on the news? When you see what's happening as a result of the hurricane? But what if it happens in the body of Christ? Someone has been carried. How has it happened? Well, it happens by the sleight of men. It happens by cunning craftiness, or by the lying white wait to deceive. The language that's used here is in part the language of using dice in gambling. And it seems like when you're using dice that everything is random. But what if the game is rigged? What if the person who's rolling the dice knows exactly how it's going to turn up and is enticing you to commit yourself as you gamble so that you might lose and that person might win? That's what's in view here. The sleight of men, people who purposely are deceiving, people who are intending to deceive because they're motivated by the devil. Cunning craftiness, lying in wait to deceive. The language further in this section is language that's used of accounting and finance. We carefully measure things when we're engaged in finance. We carefully account for things. But the people who are lying in wait, they strategize and they carefully plan out a way to lead us astray. It's not just that the wind comes along suddenly. It comes as a result of this kind of scheming, this kind of slight cutting craftiness. They are intending to lead you away. The Pied Piper of the dark side. Lying in wait to deceive. Lying in the bush. Prepare to jump out. Some people won't go out at night because they are concerned about people doing that in the physical realm. But we disregard it in the spiritual realm. Many times, if we fail to see the importance of growing, of becoming no more children, but growing up, receiving from Jesus Christ everything that He's given to us that we might grow together to maturity, we can't disregard those who lie in wait to deceive. And we're to live in completely the opposite way. It's given to us there in verse 15. We're to grow into, as it's given to us, the kind of integrity that's given to us in Christ. The first 14 speaks of the importance of stability. By contrast, now we have what integrity looks like in verse 15. Speaking the truth in love. Growing up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Speaking the truth in love. There are some times when people are more oriented towards speaking the truth than speaking it in love. There are other times when other people in the body of Christ are more oriented towards love than truth. But we are told that both of them come together. That we are to speak the truth in love. That if you don't speak the truth in a way that's loving, you're not really speaking the truth in a way that is designed to help that person grow toward maturity. To help them grasp Jesus Christ. But if you disregard the truth, they won't ever know. And they are in danger of being led away by false doctrine like winds that blow and carry them away. We need both. We need the truth and love. Some of us get really excited. Oh, I know. That was wrong. I'm about to say what's right. And we do it. But we are told in the body of Christ that we are growing together. We're told actually in verse 16 that each part of the body increases to the edifying of itself in love. It is important that we have love as a means by which we are growing in the body of Christ. Love is a means by which harmony is preserved, and the means by which we grow together, common growth, unto this fullness of maturity. Love is important in the body of Christ, but it's also important to speak the truth because there are people lying in wait to deceive. There is one body. There is, as we've already read, one Spirit, even as ye are called and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. It's by failing to grasp the truth that people are led astray. They need to hear the truth. But they also need to hear it in a way that preserves what we've been given in Jesus Christ. We're part of a body. We're part of a body. And that's why Calvin uses that image of an arm growing unusually large and out of proportion. Someone who desires simply to just take in everything for themselves. That's wrong. We're not part of a group of individuals who will finally reach the destination and then we'll all find out that we've all arrived. We're going together to glory. And so we are to grow up in the head, even Christ. Now, when we hear the image of the body and the head, we immediately pay attention because we know how our bodies work. We know that our head controls our body. We know that our brain helps us to be able to brush our teeth. But actually what's taking place here is that there are two images that are being used together. We don't think of the head simply as another part of the body here. The head is the Lord Jesus Christ. The head is the one who is, as we read in the scriptures, the wisdom of God. He's the everlasting Word. He's God's image. He's given to us that we might grow up in Him. He's the mediator. He's a representative. He is the head. In other words, everything begins with Him. He is at the top. Everything starts with Him. But we are meant to see this image of a head joined to the body because we need to stay in continuing relationship to Jesus Christ. This is the means by which we grow. He is our head so that we can grow. He's the beginning, but He's the one that we need all along, all the way to the fullness of glory. When we will stand in the presence of God, fully mature, fully realized as the church of Jesus Christ, spotless. Everything having come from Jesus Christ and continuing to come from Jesus Christ forever. And we're being told to get connected to that head now. This is the means by which we are part of the body. This is the means by which we are able to grow and that we are able to reach our full development as children. And then we read about the progress of unity in verse 16. And it's the body image. It's an image that's very familiar to us. It's there in 1 Corinthians 12. It's there in Romans 12. It's given to us that we might have a practical way of thinking about our relationship to Christ. He is our head. He's our representative. But He's joined to us. And we are part of the body ourselves. We are not just a group of individuals growing in Jesus Christ, even though that's part of growth. The whole body is fitly joined together, carefully designed. We know that from Psalm 139, don't we? We know that about ourselves. We know that we have been formed in our mother's womb, that we have been formed by the living God. And that's what happens spiritually too in the body of Christ. We are fitly joined together. We are compacted by that which every joint supplieth. If you're going to lift something, you need to have your joints and your muscles working together. Your joints need to go strong as well as your muscles. In fact, that's what people talk about when they talk about weight training in your later years as you're continuing to grow. You don't want to go too fast because your muscle can grow stronger than your bone. You have to go at the right pace because your joints and your muscles need to work together. And that's what happens in the body of Christ. We need to be working in the measure of every part. Every part is important in the body of Christ. Every person who's in the body of Christ is important. We need each one because we are all seeking to grow into the fullness of maturity together. That's what a perfect man looks like. Every part joined together in one body, growing up in Christ. And it talks about the effectual working of the measure of every part. What happens when people show mercy, when they show kindness, when they pray, when they continue to do their work that is assigned to them cheerfully, even though they have challenges in the workplace, challenges at home, and they do it cheerfully because they know that every day they wake up in the morning, Jesus is going to help me. When people go through hurricanes, and instead of simply trying to circle the wagons and care about themselves, they're looking out for someone else. They're going through floodwaters to try to recover something. This is how the body of Christ works. This is how we work. We effectually work together. What you do, what you say, what you don't say, when you forgive, how you show love, matters. It matters because if we are a body working together. And this is what causes the body to increase unto the edifying of itself in love. Paul is again using the language of a body, and he's combining it with the language of a building. A holy temple that grows, living stones. We are part of a body that is a temple of the Holy Spirit, and we are growing together. We are building one another up in love. That's the importance of love. That's why love is emphasized in Colossians chapter 3 so much. Love binds it all together, you see. I cannot seek to simply use my gifts and expand my knowledge of the Bible apart from the people of God. I cannot simply seek to grow in Christ independently of other people. It's not enough to say, I have Jesus. We have Jesus together that we grow. And when we grow in this way, we are growing in a way that builds up and strengthens each other. There's mutual harmony, there's common growth, and people are growing in the same direction together. You know what that looks like when you see it in a sports team, when you see them all working together at the same time. But this is the body of Christ. We have been given the resources and the exhortation in God's word and the Spirit and the joining to Jesus Christ, who is the head, that we might grow in this way. This is the goal. On to maturity. And brothers and sisters, there's no question. There's no question about arrival. The exhortation is here, and we're not to wring our hands and say, well, we don't have the hand anymore. We don't have the little finger. We are going to arrive. And the living God has means. And for some of you that are concerned about particular individuals, I want you to know that I was out being blown around for 8 years. And my family prayed for me. My pastor came to visit me, the pastor that I had growing up. And he asked me where I was going to church, and I said, I'm not going. And he had this pained look on his face, and he said, well, why don't you go? And that's all he said. But you know what turned me around? He spoke the truth in love. He was part of the body. I was joined to Jesus Christ even though I was living like a child. This is what we pray for people to be recovered. And this is what we model as we grow. This is the path to have people reclaimed, that we grow together like this. This is what matters. This is what will last.